got a dear friend of his whom I've just come into acquaintance with. Man, the man is powerful. He preached yesterday. Oh my goodness. He is power packed. And I want to bring this man of God up right now. Bill, would you just do us the honor? Just bring help, Prophet. Can you all welcome Prophet Leon Forte? Prophet Leon Forte. He makes his home in Athens, Ohio. Many of you are familiar with Ohio University. That's where the Ohio University is. But he comes to us by way of Columbus, Ohio. And so he is with us this weekend. As I said, he preached a power-packed word yesterday. And I know the Lord is going to use him in such a mighty way today. Amen. Can you stretch your hands forth to Prophet Leon? Father, we just bless this man of God. We know that you will use him mightily. Father, we just bless his womb right now. May he bring forth the word of God according to your perfect purpose and your plan. Father, we prepare to receive from what you have impregnated this man with. You knew, Lord God, from the beginning of time that June 17, 2018, he would impart to a church here outside of Youngstown, Ohio. Father God, we bless him in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, give God some praise right now. God bless you again.
Glory to God. Can we give God one more big God bless you? Come on, somebody. My God. Come on, keep praising him. Don't get tired. Don't get weary. It's making a difference. Keep doing it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Would you do me a favor and make God happy? Turn to the person next to you and tell him you love him so much and you may be seated in the presence of God. Okay, man. Amen, amen, amen. I am so grateful to be here today. This ministry, you know a tree by the fruit that it bears, not by the bark that it wears. And this tree is producing excellent fruit. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for your hospitality. It's just so great and everything, and they put me in this beautiful hotel. And, I mean, it's just fabulous, and just treated me like royalty, and the towels are so thick I could barely get them in my luggage. And, but it has been such a blessed time. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I want everybody to know that. So what kind of fool they done brought up in here? And but it is a blessing. I watch Brother Bill grow. Years ago, I mean, I remember when he was just a teen. He still looked just like that. You know, there's some crosses everybody got to bear, amen? But he's always been one of the most gracious, on fire, energetic people. And the Bible says to recognize those who labor amongst you. And then it says to esteem them. Listen to this. It says to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. So it didn't say nothing about you like them. He said esteem them very highly because of their work. Yes, yes, yes. And so I want to say, man of God, that we have something that we do at Grace Christian Center. When people, when I looked there, saw all those men, and I know you like to cross the T's and dot the I's. I mean, he calls me every day, find out if I'm late, finds out if I'm lost, finds out if I'm alive, amen, to make sure that I'm going to be here on time and everything. And I just want you to know, man, I appreciate you. I appreciate you and everything that you do, amen. And don't ever think that you're insignificant, man. You are a vital piece of what God is doing in this house, amen. Glory to God. But let me tell you something. Yesterday, I met Pastor Locke, but we met on the phone, and we were both driving back in. And I was listening to him, and I said, this little kid is running the church, because he sounds like a little kid on the phone. And I said, he's running the church? And he said he just got back, that the church had blessed him, that he just got back. Let me say something to you. God gave me about four different things, exhortations, for going into 2018. And one of those exhortations was no honor, no reward. If you don't honor your headship, you get no reward. And see, it's important for us to understand that this is a gift from God. When that's one of those fivefold ministry gifts, is a gift from God to the body of Christ. If you reject the gift, you reject the giver. When you respect the gift, you respect the giver. So as much as you love God, who you cannot see, you need to love the gift that he gave you that you see every day. And you have a tremendous gift in this house. He taught yesterday with an excellence, and there's not very many people who can preach and teach. They can preach and teach. Some people can just teach. You get sick of them. They find the five B's in decision, the five B's in broke. Say amen, somebody. But then you got them other ones that will say, Mary had a little lamb who's a fleece, and he got both. Amen. You got both in him. And I'm telling you, this is a great gift. This is a foundational piece right here. And I'm telling you, honor him. And I told him when I never had seen his wife, and she walked in today, and I said, oh, yeah, y'all punted your coverage on this one, didn't you? And you can just tell a man by how fine his woman is, amen? I say it like that. Why don't you give the Lord a praise and clap for your pastor and for Brother Bill, amen? Thank you, Jesus. Your Excellency, God bless you. If you have a Bible, would you turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 3?
Hallelujah.
Amen. I wasn't expecting that, but amen. Glory to God. Y'all got to watch me. I carry a pistol. You fool around here and scare me too bad. I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. I like to have some fun. I'm not coming to Jesus' funeral. I grew up at Jesus' funeral. I grew up Baptist-costal. I was Baptist in the morning. And we sang the first, third, and fifth stanza of a dead hymn that didn't make no sense. And before it was over, you thought Jesus was from England. Say amen, somebody. And we had ushers. We thought they were hushers. But we had ushers. And let me tell you something. If you got out of church, first of all, God didn't show up till 11 o'clock. So don't even bother. You're waking him up. You're disturbing him. Don't even come, because he ain't coming till 11 o'clock. And then you had to be ready and pray God that the pastor didn't have a whole lot to say, so y'all might get out by 2:30, 3 o'clock. Amen. then my mother thought that they were dry. She thought they were dry. So she took me to Church of God in Christ at night. Oh, my God. Everybody in the Baptist church had on a blue suit, a black suit, or a gray suit. Everybody at the Church of God in Christ had on pink, Kelly green, or yellow. And they had that organ going, and I'm telling you, if your name was Terry, I hated you, because that means you're going to have to stay at that altar, and a bunch of old women were going to come up with some oil. You're going to be greasy in the chicken. I mean, when they got finished with you, saying, come out, come out, come out, come out. I said, if you get out of the way, I will get out. Amen. I was raised Baptist. And so you're just looking at me and the results of them raising me up. I was a drug addict. My mother drugged me to church, drugged me to vacation Bible school, drugged me to Sunday school and revival. Amen. I got drug everywhere. My God. Tent meeting. There was a tent right outside the other day, and they were playing Bruno Mars. The band was playing some Bruno Mars. But first, the tent thing got to me because I was scared of the tent meeting. I said, oh, they're having a tent meeting. Oh, let me hurry up and get in this car and hurry up and get out of here before the tent gets you. But then I heard the Bruno Mars, and I said, hey. You know, I said, the tent meeting's ungrew. Amen. Are you in the book of Acts chapter 3? My God. Hunch the person next to you and tell them, pay attention. This is about your life. Punch the person on the other side and tell them, pay attention, this is about our church. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your presence. Lord, you said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the words that you speak are spirit and life to those who find them. Father, I'm asking you to speak a word today. Speak a word to their destiny. Speak a word, oh God, to the assignment on their life. Speak a word that will encourage them and build them and strengthen them. Speak a word, oh God, that will adjust them if need be. But Lord God, speak a word. We'll receive the word with gladness and not be a hearer only, but a doer of the word. Lord, we bind every religious and hindering and offending spirit in the name of Jesus. We loose the liberty of the great teacher, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Now, Father, I decrease that you might increase. Use me, Lord, like I use this microphone, speak through me. And Lord God, anoint me to preach, anoint me to teach, anoint me to prophesy, and make me accurate today. In the name of Jesus. And Father, when the last word's uttered, may all your children be edified. When the last word's uttered, oh God, may the enemy of our faith be defeated and terrified. But most importantly, when the last word is uttered, may you be glorified. Thank you for an anointing that breaks every yoke. It's in Jesus' holy, wondrous, and matchless name that we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen and amen. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it reads, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his written word. I'm not a title man, so I'll let you title this message the way that you would like to see it, but I do want you to know that I'm not the gift of prophecy. I'm not exhortation, edification, and comfort. I pastor a church, but I'm the office of the prophet. The prophet has some things that they're called to do. He told Jeremiah that he was going to root some stuff out. He said he was going to pull some stuff down. He said he was going to destroy some stuff. He said that he would throw some stuff down. That means that he would build and he would plant. And oftentimes, God uses the prophet's life literally to display what he's doing in the earth. So I don't come to you as the pastor of Grace Christian Center. I come to you as the prophet of God to your house. Now, don't worry, I'm not trying to root nothing out today. Amen? I'm not trying to throw anything down today. But what I am going to do is obey the Spirit of God on the inside of me, because I believe this church is in transition. I believe that you're leaving one thing and you're beginning to gain, go into another thing. And the piece about transition is the way you leave one thing determines how you enter the next thing. Everything in life is entering and leaving. Are you hearing me now? So it's important for you to understand that when you're in transition, there's some things that you have to keep in mind when you're in transition. Well, I remember I was running one day, and I was walking, and the people with me was running, amen. Ain't no sense of me telling a lie up here at church. But I was walking. I had on my little shorts and stuff out there. I was trying to keep the flies off me. And I was running. I was walking. And I got to this one place, and I looked up, and there was a snake skin hanging over this tree, over this tree branch. And it was high. And I said, I had a country boy with me. See, I minister in Appalachia. So we've got the hills of West Virginia close to us. It's not flat like it is here. And it's a beautiful country. So you need to come visit us sometime. But up in this tree, this snake skin was hanging down. And I said, why would somebody take a snake and put him all the way up in the tree like that? Why would somebody do that? He said, you don't understand, Pastor. That's not what happened. He said, you see, that snake was ready to shed its old skin. But it did not have enough strength at ground level to get out of the old skin. So he took what strength he had left and climbed to the highest branch. And then he let himself go over the branch. And then gravity pulled him out of his old skin. Y'all better hear me. And somewhere on the ground, there's a fresh new snake running around. And, of course, myself came out of me, and I said, well, let's give this snake plenty of room and go on about our business. Amen. This is his turf. Leave him alone. But see, the fact of the matter is God will take you to a high place and put you in a place where your destiny will pull you out of your old comfort zone. Pull you out of your old skin and allow you to be in the place and do what you're called to do. And he may not change location, but you will deal with the location that you're in a different way, because you're a different entity at this point. Some of you had to be frustrated in the coming to this church. Oh, y'all better hear me now. See, because sometimes he has to frustrate you out of your comfort zone. Amen. Glory to God. We see something here today. We see something here today. Good God Almighty, I can't get past this transitional word. I'm working on a book on transition, Pastor. And there's some things about transition that are so important. But I see God doing something in this house. It's a multicultural house. You look exactly like our church back home. And I'm grateful to be here, even if your pastor did go to the University of Miami. He made the mistake of going to Miami when he should have come to OU. You just don't know. There's a big rivalry between OU and Miami. My God, but we respect Miami greatly. And it says here, now Peter and John went up together. Everybody say together. Together to the temple at the hour of prayer. Now, everybody knows about the hour of prayer. You know, that's the smallest, least attended ministry in the entire church. Everybody knows about that. You know, you might be someplace else skating or watching the Cavs or something like that at prayer meet. Don't nobody want to pray? Because prayers work. Prayers work. See, we become user-friendly. We become user-friendly, and we can't be user-friendly. We need to talk to God. God is our sponsor. The reason we're here is because of him. The fact that you're in the earth says that you're carrying something that the earth needs, and you're the only one that can give it. And so you need to check with your sponsor. If you don't check with your sponsor, you will be a wandering generality when God plans for you to be a meaningful specific. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and tell them, don't wander. And when we do pray, I hear the Lord talking to me about prayer. When we do pray, you need to not only pray. Listen, Jesus said, could you not pray with me for 1 hour? Now listen to me. He doesn't want you to talk the whole hour. He don't want you to talk to, brother, what's your first name? Wesley. Now, I call up Wesley, and I say, hey, Wesley, man, look, this is Leon, man. Man, you're the greatest guy in the world, man. I really appreciate you, man. You're a blessing, man, to my life. You do everything, man. I'm telling you, the anointing on you is so great, man. I just really appreciate you and everything else. And I need $100, and man, I just love you with everything I got, man. And look, I got to go. I'll talk to you later. Click. What I've just done is I manipulated him through praise. I got in there, I asked him what I wanted from him, and then I didn't even give him a chance to respond. If he was going to give me the $100, he didn't tell me where I need to meet him, where to go, or nothing like that. We do that in prayer all the time. So if you're going to pray, if you only got 30 minutes to pray, pray for 15 and then be quiet. Wow. That's hard for charismatic folks. That's hard for people filled with the Spirit of God to be quiet because we confuse activity with accomplishment. So be quiet and let him speak back to you. Amen? And he will speak to you. You will hear him speak. How many people in here baptized in the Holy Ghost? That means that you got your prayer language. Amen? Keep your hand up. I want to know who I'm talking to. Keep your hand up. Good. Listen to me. When you get up in the morning, listen, tonight when you go to bed, I want you to go to bed. The last thing you do, turn Jimmy Kimmel off and the rest of them off. Amen. Turn TBN off. Say amen. You done seen that movie about Moses 18 times. Amen. Turn that off. Say amen, somebody. And then I want you to go to bed praying in the Holy Ghost. When you wake up, be quiet. Don't move. That's hard for us men because we really won't go to the bathroom as soon as we get up. Amen? And so when you get up, when you wake up, be real quiet and listen. You're going to hear the Holy Spirit on the inside of you singing a song. That song is your, what you have done is you've came in on him worshiping. Y'all don't hear me. See, your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. And you've come in in the middle of worship. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's constantly keeping the fire burning, and he's worshiping all the time. And that is your song And if you will sing it with him that day, you'll get victory all day long. All day long. When I woke up this morning, I woke up this morning with my hands lifted up. I will bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will. He's getting my will in place with God's. And so in the morning, do that. And I believe that God will take this church to another dimension. There's some scribes in this church. There's some people that take copious notes on in their mind and with pen and pad. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that I'm going to say some things in prayer. And if you want to hear what my agenda is, get with me in prayer. Amen? But anyway. It says in verse 2, it says, and a certain lame man came from his mother's womb. Lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid at the gate called Beautiful every day. And he would sit there and simply ask him for money. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. Now, Peter and John, I need to talk to you about something that I really believe, man of God, you're going to have to take this and work with this after I'm gone. But God is really putting an emphasis on pairings. Everybody say pairings. When you get closer to your assignment, when you in maturity, there's a certain maturity level in this church. When you get closer to your assignment, your assignment is to a place, to a people, and you are going to have an effect on the earth. But as you get close to your assignment, God is going to pair you up with someone else, and the two of you together will do together what neither of you could have done on your own. Oh, y'all don't hear me. They did an experiment. They did an experiment with these workhorses, and they put this one workhorse, and they put these bricks in the wagon, hitched him up to a wagon, put the bricks in the wagon. He carried 300 bricks. He was able to pull 300 bricks. That they got a second horse and put him, hitched him up to the same wagon, kept putting bricks in, and he was able to carry 400 bricks. They hitched the two of them together, and mathematically, they should have been able to pull 700 bricks. But because of something called synergy, they were able to pull 1,100 bricks. Y'all need to hear me. In other words, God will put you with a person that the two of you together will do better than if he doubled you or the other person. Y'all don't hear me. It's not just because there were two horses. It was which two horses they put together. The Bible says the church is built on the foundation, which you can't see the foundation of this church, of this house, of this school. You can't see the foundation. He said, but it's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Let me demonstrate something to you. Come here, man of God. I want to stand right here. I want you to face the congregation. He's got an apostolic calling on his life. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Come stand right in front of him, Bill. Come stand right in front of him, man of God. Man of God, come on here and stand right in front of him. Stand, face him. Face him. Stand right in front of him. Don't let him see the congregation. Stand right in front of him. Now look, he's territorial, he's governmental. God does great miracles by his hand to move the city. He's law-oriented. His nickname is literally the gatekeeper in the Bible. He's the gatekeeper. So where his church is located or strategically placed is for him to be on a gate of the city. There's a highway right here, and that's a gate into this city. Y'all don't hear me. And so his job is to protect this gate. He says what comes in and what goes out. It cannot go out. He has authority to open and close the gate. Now, y'all hear me? Now, he's dealing with all the different things. He's dealing with things in the city. He's dealing with things in the educational department. He's dealing with things in the church. He's dealing with all this different stuff, and he's doing that, and he's at ground level. Y'all need to hear me. Meanwhile, the Bible says the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. You got this guy, and the cities were walled. He was walking on the wall. He was called the watchman on the wall. His job was to walk on the wall, and his gift was to be able to see afar off, and not just see it because of his vantage point, but he was able to discern the character of what he was seeing. So he could tell if this person deserves to get into the city. Oh, y'all don't hear me. And so his job is to walk all the time, but his job is the discernment. His job is to understand. His job is to be prophetic as to what's about to happen. Now, it does no good. See, he has authority. Say authority.
Authority.
See, we said this yesterday, but authority rules power. Authority rules power. And so, see, you may not have the power. He might not have the power to move these three men from in front of him, but he has the authority to tell them to sit down. They'll go sit down. Hello, somebody. It's his authority ruling over their power. Hello? Now, listen to me. It does no good to have all this insight and see that Jezebel and Ahab, oh, my God, to see this, to see that Korah's coming. Y'all don't hear me. To see Korah, it does no good to have all that insight, but you have no authority to stop them from getting into the city. But it does no good to have the authority and you don't recognize Korah and Jezebel. Y'all better hear me, somebody. So the strength and the efficiency and the safety of the community is contingent upon the communication mechanism between the gatekeeper and the watchman. In other words, they are paired together so he can whisper into his ear, and then he can take authority over the situation. Y'all better hear me today. Are you hearing me now? And see, what the devil has done with his religious self is he's getting the gatekeepers to compete with the watchmen instead of complete each other. Say, y'all need to hear me today. Y'all need to come and see. So some of the people that God is pairing you with is to complement the gifting that's on the inside of you. Y'all better hear me. Glory to God. Thank y'all very much. Amen. See, these pairings that he's putting together, the church is built on the foundation of the apostles. It wasn't Peter and it wasn't John. It was Peter and John. It was Peter and John. It was Paul and Barnabas. Paul was an apostle, Barnabas more prophetic. Are you hearing me? And when they fell out over his nephew, when they fell out, then Paul went and got Silas. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
But see, the work is going to go on. Some of us need paired up so much that he gives us a permanent pairing. It's called a marriage. Say amen, somebody. And that in that permanent pairing, you've got, see, men are headliners and women are fine print. Men are USA Today and women are New York Times. You know, US, listen, I'm in the hair business too. Yes, I'm in the hair business. Looking at me like, what you doing in the hair business? You can't even keep no hair on your head. You up here getting the hair business. But if you go to a beauty shop, I mean, if you go to a barber shop, it's always a bunch of men arguing about something that happened in the sports, and they knew that something happened. But they don't know no year.
They don't know the stats, none of that stuff. They got to go and get an almanac to find out who was telling the truth. Most people learn to lie at the barbershop. Say amen, somebody. If you go into a good barbershop, you're going to deal with lying 101. Amen. You got to learn how to lie. Amen. And so they don't know. They know what happened. They know that so-and-so fought so-and-so, but they don't know who won or what round it was in. Are you hearing me now? You go to the beauty shop. There is 1,800. Now, I'm talking about old school. I'm old school. I remember when women used to get press and curl. So, you know, you had the one sister would have a mound of grease on the back of her hand, be chewing gum. And she's as greasy as the hot iron that she's about to use. And she'd be chewing gum. And there would be like 10 other women working in there, and all of them got a conversation going on at the same time. But somebody can say something way over here in chair 8, and you over here in chair 3, and you can hear, I heard that girl, what she said, you know that. They knew everybody's business. They knew the detail. They knew everybody that got a hysterectomy and what part they left in and what part they took out. Y'all better hear me now. So if you're going to have a publication, you got to have headlines and fine print. And so that's what this relationship and this pairing is all about. So whatever the devil cannot pervert, he will divert. What he cannot pervert, he will divert. So what he's done in the pairings is he's put two headliners together and said, that's a relationship. He's put two details together, two fine print together, and said, that's a relationship. And then now we as a nation and in many churches have to accept that. It's quiet in here. I know I'm upsetting somebody, but I know how to get back to Athens. I told you the highway's right up here. I'm gonna jump on here. So you need to understand something. What he cannot pervert, he would divert. So if he can get you out of place, he doesn't have to stop your anointing, just get you out of place. Because your anointing is for a geographical area. Your anointing is for a particular people. Your anointing is for to do a certain thing on your life. It's the enablement of God. And so what all he has to do is get you out of here. I can tell when the man of God walks in the room, everything goes up. Because he's anointed. He's anointed for this house. This is his house. He walks in authority in this house. Today, he's my pastor. He's going to be my pastor for about another hour. Are you hearing me now? Whatever he says, if he said go sit down, I can go sit down. Too bad on y'all. I'm going to go sit down. Are you hearing me now? He walks in authority. So what the devil will try to do is get him out of place. It's important for you to recognize who you've been paired with. Don't call him Father and then don't let him be the Father. He's going to raise up sons. And sons in this house are going to have to be able to run the house when daddy's gone. Hello, somebody. Because the call on his life is greater than where he is right now. Oh, y'all don't hear me. I know I'm probably telling it and you're going to be mad at me, but like I told you, I'll be gone, man. Ain't nothing you can do about it. But anyway, that call on his life is greater. So there's going to be some times when he's entering and leaving, going in and coming back out, going in and coming back out. And if you don't see the apostle in him, You will keep him at pastoral level. Oh, y'all don't hear me. And realize that if this is a pastoral leadership over my, or a apostolic leadership over my life, then that means that this church is greater than just a regular church. Glory to God. My God. Hey, Doc, how many minutes I got left? Y'all supposed to be counting this time just like me. Y'all know? Talk to me. Okay, y'all don't know. Anyway, what time are we supposed to be out of here? If you don't know, you're going to miss your moment. Because God trusts you to thrust him and grow the church. He trusts him. And woman of God, I will tell you this in case I don't get a chance to prophesy to you. It was Aquila and Priscilla that taught Apollos a better way. Your job is not just to be an ornament. Your job is to be there at times they need to hear a word from their mama as much as they need to hear a word from their dad. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm talking about these pairings. They're God-ordained combinations. Now, there's power in your pairings. If you don't check the power that's in who you're paired up with, you'll miss your moment. Everything that God does, he does according to original intent. Original intent. Everybody say original intent. And Bill, you and your wife, come here. Both of you. Hurry up now, because you know I ain't got but 5 minutes. Get over there. Come on. I need you up here. And help her get up here. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to coach, amen. I'm trying to coach. Everything he does according to original intent. He said he's the Lord God and he changes not. Now, when he got ready to make man, I want you to stand behind him and I don't want to be able to see you. So when he got ready to make man, he said, let us make man in what? Let us make man in what? And the Bible says everything else that God made, that he created it with his word of his power. So he spoke it into existence. But when he created something made in his image, he made it with his hands. So he scoops up the dust of the earth and he makes man look just like him. Now he makes him, I'm talking about original intent. Now he makes him just like him. And then the Bible says that now he's a clay figure at this point. He's an action figure. And he's a clay, he's artwork at this moment. He's made of dirt. But the Bible says he blew the breath of life into him and he became a living soul. That Hebrew word for living soul is the word nephesh. But it literally means not just blow breath into, it literally means he inhaled it. So now you got God in his creation looking back out at himself. Y'all better hear me. Every man, listen to me. You got God inside of him looking back out at himself. And Adam was made brilliant and a man. He was not a boy. He didn't have to grow up. So he would say, he would come to Adam and he would say, you know what, today in the cool of the day, he said, listen, man, I made this real big thing. And he made the whole garden for Adam. And so he says, listen, you want to talk about having some response. That Adam was in was bordered by rivers on every side. Say amen, somebody. They eat up all this stuff. But anyway, he's big,